Today, on the Feast of the Body and Blood of Christ, I'd like to start out by asking you to imagine a thought experiment. Here is the thought experiment. I want you to imagine that someone leads you into a room. And when you enter the room has just one chair. And in front of you, there is a curtain in the middle of the room. And he asks you to sit down. Then he says to you, on the other side of the curtain, you will hear the voice of someone you dearly love that you haven't seen in a very, very long time. They will be calling in, and you will hear their voice from a speaker on the other side of the curtain. And soon enough, the person you love begins speaking to you, and you are speaking to them across the curtain. You can't see anything. And you're having a great conversation. It's great to hear from you. It's, you know, stuff like that. But in the middle of the conversation, the person who brought you in says to you, he's really there. That's not a speaker. The person you love is on the other side of the curtain. Does that change how you feel? You get more excited knowing that they are right on the other side of the curtain. You're seeing the same thing. You're not seeing anything different. You're still seeing the curtain. But before, you thought you were hearing the voice of the loved one from a speaker. Now you know that on the other side of the curtain, the person is really there. I don't know about you, but the moment somebody would say to me, he's really there, or she's really there, my heart would start beating faster. I would get excited. I wasn't seeing anything different. Just the knowledge that they were on the other side of that curtain would change my feelings like that. Now, the reason I began that way, and of course, today is the Feast of the Body and Blood of Christ. One of the surveys that was done recently says that a good majority of Catholics, well, I can't remember if it was a majority, it was a very high percentage, at least half, if not more, that Catholics understood or misunderstood that when they went to celebrate the Eucharist, that the bread and the wine that they were receiving was a symbol of Jesus. That wasn't really Jesus, that it was kind of a symbolic doing what he did at the Last Supper. And it struck me that if you don't believe Jesus is really there, then it changes the dynamic. It changes the whole thing. Just like with the thought experiment with the curtain and the speaker. Because when you really think that a person is there, it changes your experience of reality. But I think what happens is that most Catholics, or at least the Catholics that cannot bring themselves to understand this, the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, they deal with the fact of, how could that be? When I go to Mass and the priest lifts up the host and the chalice, I still see bread and I still see a cup full of wine. It's got to be a symbol. I can see nothing else different. Now, on a parenthetically, I want you to understand that in the thought experiment that I just did with you, you didn't see anything differently either. Yet the moment you know that the other person's on the other side of that screen, your feelings change because you know they are really present. And so for us as Catholics, we understand that even though our experience of what is visual and what is what you can touch when you eat bread, the body of Christ and blood of Christ, you're still tasting bread and you're still tasting wine. And so how is it that happens? And how could he do that? Well, let me tackle the how could he do that, because I find that very, very interesting to understand. When Jesus, at the Last Supper in the Gospel today, took the bread and he said, "Take it. This is my body." Now, what if you and I were to do the same thing? And I would say to you, "Take it. This is my body." You would go, Yeah. Because that's normal, right? Now, when Jesus did that, a lot of people did the same thing. I don't know if you remember, but when he said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." And a lot of the people he was talking to began saying, "Oh, no, come on." But you have to remember that for a Jew, he was prohibited from eating flesh that had any blood left in it, because the blood for the Jews signified the life, and it belonged to God. They could eat the flesh, but they could not eat the flesh that had any blood left in it, because that was only God who had the power of life. And so the people there were not only shocked, they were scandalized, I would bet. They were also probably disgusted. What do you mean I'm supposed to eat your flesh and drink your blood? What do you think I am, some kind of a cannibal? You can imagine how that went over. Now, for us, we're sort of used to it because a lot of us are, you know, Catholics from the beginning. So we're used to that. But the question still, you know, the skepticism that greeted Jesus when he said that, I would say it's normal. But you have to understand why it is that the church has taken it seriously. You think about this. Jesus, when he said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." When people were misunderstanding, where people were saying, "Oh no, I must have misunderstood," because people were walking away from him in droves. And that's when Jesus turns to the apostles and says, "Are you also going to leave? Are you also?" Because the crowd that was with him began to say, this guy's gone nuts. And now at that moment, if Jesus really didn't mean it, he could have said something. He could have said, no, wait a minute. I didn't mean that. It was a symbol. I wasn't talking in reality." Because he obviously saw people walking away from him and saying, "I don't believe that." He could have clarified it. But what did he do? He says it again. He says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." He doubled down into it. He had every chance to say, "Don't leave. This is only a symbol." Now, why did he double down on it? Because he is the creator. Now, you have to understand this. How does the creator create reality? Now, just ask yourself that question. How does the creator create reality? Let your mind go back to Genesis. And in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. And there was light. Then God said, let there be stars. And there were stars. And goes on. But each time, how does God create? He says, and what he says is different than what we say. I can say, let there be a dog right here, and nothing's gonna happen. But when God says, his word creates reality. Let there be light. And there was light. So all of a sudden you begin to understand that the way that God creates is by speaking his word. His word is not just something he's saying. It is the very act of creation. God's word creates reality. Who is Jesus? Take from John, the beginning of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And then remember that Paul says, all things were created in him, and nothing came to be that was not created in him. Why? Because he is the Word. How does God create? He speaks the Word. And when he speaks the Word, reality comes into being. And so Jesus is standing there after feeding the 5,000, and everybody says, free food, free food. And Jesus has to run away. And when they finally find him, Jesus turns to them and he says, I tell you, you are seeking me not because you have seen signs, but because you have eaten your fill of bread. You should not be working or laboring for the bread that does not last. You should be looking for the bread that will feed you to life eternal. I am that bread. I am that bread. Unless you eat of the bread, the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink of his blood, you have no life in you. Why can Jesus say that? Because he is the creator. And the moment he speaks reality, reality comes into being. How many times did we not see that in the miracles of Jesus? He goes up to a little girl who's dead. I can guarantee you, I can go into any room in which there is a dead person, and I will say, stand up, and nothing will happen. Nothing. But Jesus walks up to a person and says, stand up, and the little girl gets up. He goes up to a tomb, and he says, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus comes out. In the middle of a storm, where the apostles were thinking they were dying, he stands up and he says, you of little faith. And he looks at the storm and he says, stop it. And the storm goes, phew. You're not talking about any individual here. You're talking about a person whose speech creates reality, which is exactly how the God of the Old Testament, that's the same God you've always known. And it's always also the word that John spoke, that all things were created by his word. And so at the very Last Supper, when you hear it tonight, you see Jesus taking the bread and remembering what he had said before when everybody left him. Imagine you were in that room with the disciples and you had heard, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And all of a sudden, at the end of a Passover meal, Jesus takes bread and he gives it to you and he says, "This is my body." Now, if I were to say that, nothing would happen. But Jesus says that, the Creator says that, and he becomes present in the very substance of that bread. Does it still look like bread? Yes. You can still see just the curtain. But don't trust your eyes. Trust the Creator who told you, "This is my body." And his word creates reality. That's why whenever you come to Mass and you see the priest take the bread, the host, and he tells you a story. The story goes, on the night before he died, Jesus takes bread. He's still telling you the story. And he breaks it and he gives it to his disciples. And all of a sudden, the priest stops telling you the story. And then he says the words, "Take this, all of you. Eat it. This is my body." Whenever the priest says that, he's no longer himself. He is speaking what's called in persona Christi, in the person of Jesus. I do not consecrate the bread and the wine. It is Jesus who does it through me. Now it doesn't feel weird. I don't go, and Jesus is taking me over. But I'm conscious that that's not me. It's the same thing with every sacrament. Whenever I hear a confession and I stand before the person and I stand there and I put my hands on their head and I say, "I absolve you." They don't need my forgiveness. They didn't do anything to me, because it isn't me. It is the person of Jesus speaking to you through the ordained priest. Whenever I say, "I baptize you," I'm not baptizing. That's in the person of Jesus. Whenever I anoint in confirmation, and I say, "Receive the Holy Spirit," that's not me. I have no power to do that. It's the person of Jesus. And so today, when we get to that point, when we get to that point and you see the host being raised, and you see the chalice being raised, don't forget who's on the other side of the curtain. You may still see a white host and a chalice full of wine, but that's not wine and bread. That's the very presence of Jesus. In the ancient world, when somebody wanted to say they were really present, they would say he was there, body and blood. Whenever the priest is saying that, he's telling you, it's for real. It's not just a symbol. You're about to be one with your Creator. This is my body. The Creator is saying that. and what he says makes reality.